Second cassette, side 2 of tape number JE36. This is the continuation of this message on the Song of Solomon.
Are these the little characters you lost the other night? Come up here and get them. Bless his heart, he run all over Kingdom Come trying to find his keys the other night, and they never did find them. I don't know how he ever got his car started. Is that them, son? Well, it just shows you, if you have patience, all good things come to pass after a while. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Now, we'll just cover this hurriedly, since that we're not really tearing on the subject. Now, what's the reason, what's the purpose of having long hair? I'll drop this little statue of truth under long hair here. And so the bridegroom said to the bride, she was so beautiful, she'd begun to grow. Her hair of surrender and subjection was growing until it gave him the appearance, like a huge mountain. And flocks of goats laying along the mountainside. Her hair was so beautiful, outwardly and inwardly. Now, sometimes we can grow long hair outwardly, not have it too long inwardly. But you know something? God wants it inward and outward. Amen. Now then, he says here in verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were a shaven. And he said, for if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, if you drop on down into verse 15, he tells you what the woman's covering is. A lot of times people want to argue about this and be contentious. And Paul said, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. We're not going to fight over the truth. But he said, I'm just going to tell you what the truth is. And he said, we're not contentious either about the word of God. When God's word is put before us, well, Paul said, we're not going to be contentious about it. We're going to obey it. And so he tells you in verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now then, I'd have to go back here. In verse 3, he said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, let's just put the man here. Now, in order for Christ to be his head, he's going to have to get rid of his head, right? Thank God that in Jesus Christ, beloved, that God removes the curse of Adam's head over the woman. Isn't that wonderful? God removes the curse of Adam's head. And it's true that that before Jesus died, God put, here's the man here, and God said, now his head now is to be Christ. And in order for Christ to be his head, then man's going to have to get rid of his carnal mind, carnal head over there. Now then he said over here, here's the woman, and he said, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And he said, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, she's going to have to get rid of her head, too, and she's going to let him be the head. Now, we've got one head in the home. Who's the head? Christ. That's right. So, man gave up his carnal head, and woman gave up her carnal head. Now, you've got to understand that in order to understand the picture here. Now, he said, in other words, when you pray and when you prophesy, if you've got long hair, well, then he said, you bring honor to your head. Now, who then really is your head then, huh? Christ. If you have a husband and he's a spiritual and going on for God, then he's your head. God has placed a new headship among Christians, and that is the head of Christ here. Amen. He's the new head. And so, naturally, if you're not married, well, then Christ becomes your direct head. You're still under the headship of Christ, whether you're married or whether you're single. But if you're married, God has ordained and placed the responsibility and the headship still to come through the man. Now, if he forfeits his privilege, beloved, and he doesn't follow through, well, then a woman can still go on and get the mind and the headship of Christ, thank God. We'd be in a terrible shape if our husbands didn't go on, wouldn't we? But if they don't go on, then we can go directly to Christ. But if we've got a husband that is a Christian and going on for God, then you're obligated to be under his headship. Is that clear with you now, huh? And so what's the purpose then for long hair? He said that you might have more power, beloved, in praying. if you honor your head, then you're going to have more power in praying, because that head's going to honor you. Huh? And the same way with a prophecy. And then notice the next thing here about the woman. And he said in verse 10, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." Your long hair gives you power with angels. Well, you say, well, we've got the Holy Ghost now. We don't need angels. That's not what the Word says. The Word says in Hebrews, the first chapter, he said, "Are they not all," speaking the angels, "ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And you'd be surprised how many ministers and how many offices, and one of these days, I've been promising you a long time, to give you that stature on the angels. Would you like that, huh? Well, that's a fabulous study. It's a study equivalent unto like darkness and mystery, afflictions and mysteries of darkness, and it's on that same level. So there's just a jillion things to study. I had my daughter the other night helping me. This is my old Bible, and this is my new Bible. That's why I got two Bibles up here. And this one had a nervous breakdown on me, and it collapsed. Because it's a loose leaf, and I had too many loose leaves in it. So she said, "Mama, I used to think you were just kidding when you say you had a jillion things you'd never taught us." But when she was up there just typing just a few of them, well, it began to dawn on her how much, beloved, that God has granted to us of the Word of God. Amen. So it's wonderful to go on. Well, and someday we'll study, along with the other things I promised you, we'll study this matter of angels, this stature of truth about angels. It's a fabulous study. Now, he said, have power on your head because of the angels. There are angels standing nearby just waiting to minister for you. I'm the Messiah. Oh, yes. And if you get that power on your head, glory to God, hallelujah, they'll minister for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Abba-ba-ha-ya. And I'm a Mahaya. Praise God. And with the speed of lightning, God's able to speak to them. The minute you pray, then the command will be given to your ministering angel round about you. Hallelujah. And he'll carry out your prayer just like that. You'd be surprised how many prayers are answered by ministering angels. Now, is it that God has to do it that way? Huh? No, he gives us a privilege to serve, and he gives angels a privilege to serve. God could do the whole thing by himself. God was complete in himself. God doesn't even have to create anybody else if he didn't want to. He could have been complete in himself, because he is complete in himself. But God gave us the joy of getting in on it. Gave the angels the joy of getting in on it. And so you have power because of the angels. Then I just read you there, and sometime when we teach that fabulous stature on the glory of God, well, then you're going to find this is one place where you find the glory of God, and that's on the head of the woman. Now, you think about that. Glory to God. Though, beloved, that God has given, now this is interesting, and it just goes to show you that he said, don't get too puffed up whether you're a man or a woman. You need each other. Huh? Praise God. Though you've got the head of Christ, God actually intended that the Word come through the man. Christ is the name of the Word. I've told you that. Before Jesus was ever born, my Bible tells me that they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. And the Word says, speaking of Peter there, when Jesus said, do y'all really know who I am? Who does other people say I am? Oh, they said John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elias, and so on and so on. Jesus said, yes, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Abba-ba-ba-ha-ya. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. He got a revelation of the Christ, the Word. Amen. But you know something? The woman is a type of the Spirit, and the man is a type of the Word. And it takes two of you together to conceive new life. Glory to God. Now, how about it, huh? So though God's given the man the Word, hallelujah, he's crowned the woman's head with the glory of the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. How about it, huh? So that a lot of times her mind is anointed in a special way by the Spirit of God. Isn't he wonderful, huh? Glory to God. So this is a reason for long hair. That's up to you. If you want to let your hair grow or if you want to cut it off. But as for me, I let mine grow. Because I want to be in the bride and I want to please him. And even if there was no hereafter, if this was all the life there was, I would still go the way I'm going for the joy I have in the present time. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So he looked at the bride's hair here, and her hair had grown long. Praise God. So that it looked like a flock of goats. Now then, let's go to her mouth. Let's see how that her separation in the prayer closet changed her mouth. And I'll tell you, if there's anything we need God to work on, it's our mouth, huh? All right, let's talk about her mouth here. My, when she got alone in the secret chambers of her mother, the Holy Ghost prayer closet, and began to let the Holy Ghost pray out of her and move on, then her mouth began to take on a change, beloved. It began to take on a spiritual growth and so on. Now, the three things about her mouth. First of all, he talks about her teeth in verse 2. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them." Now, that's just a precious there. So let's begin to consider the teeth of her mouth. Now, you know, teeth is important. What's the first thing a mother looks for when a baby is born? Shortly after it's born. Shortly after it's born, yeah, they're sort of a monstrosity if they're born with teeth, but once in a while they are. Usually about three and a half to 4 months on up, my mama begins to feel and see if there's a little tooth getting ready to appear there. And isn't it exciting when your child gets its first tooth? Now, some of them never had children. Well, you can't understand that. My daughter, she talks big and loud sometimes, and long and loud, and she thinks it's just funny, you know, when mothers get together and they talk about their babies and about their teeth, you know, and this thing and that thing. She thinks that's very boring. Well, you wait till she gets a little rascal, huh? Praise God. There's just something fascinating. I'll tell you, when it's your kids, then that's different, isn't it, huh? You know, it just tickles you, you know. And I was somewhere the other day, and they had a little baby there, several months old now, and they were so excited. They said, "You know what he said today?" And I said, "No, what, Mama?" And everybody in the family was excited. Baby had said, "Mama." Well, so what? We could care less, you know. But to that mother and to that family, that was an exciting day when you hear that little ball of flesh begin to recognize who you are. And they begin to say Mama and Dada and then all the other cute things. And when they take their first step, well, that's just terrific, isn't it, huh? Now, see, if you haven't had any children, you don't know that. It's the same way spiritually. Sometimes people come in and they want to lambast some of my children around here. You know, they say, "See anything saying about them? I don't see they're going anywhere." Well, you just don't know where they've come from, that's all. Amen. So it's exciting. And so teeth is important here. Now I'm going to back over here and put a little stature of truth here about her teeth. Let's consider of the teeth of the bride. As she lived alone, beloved, there in the prayer closet and in the study closet, with her mouth on the sincere milk of the word, why, it began to grow some teeth. Amen. She began to grow teeth there. So you can see why she had to have this separation here. You can see why that the roe was begging her in chapter 2, beloved. He came leaping and skipping and dancing upon the hill, demonstrating to her the joy and the affection and the blessedness of this mountain out here. And then he came and he gave her a vision of himself as he showed himself through the lattice of her windows there. And so he said, "Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. I've got more things to do for you." And this is what he began to do for her. He began to teach her more subjection and surrender, not as a spouse, because she's not married yet, but as a spouse bride. You know, when you become engaged to a person and all, why, you become under subjection, a certain amount of subjection and responsibility and authority from that person. Then when you get married, well, then, of course, it's worse than ever then. Glory. Now then, so let's consider her teeth here. First of all, he said, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep. Now, this is precious. Now, he said, your teeth are like a flock. Well, now, you can see, beloved, this is symbolical language. No one would go and tell his engaged bride, just in the natural, that her mouth looked like a flock of her teeth look like a flock of sheep. She probably hit him one. And many people in the spiritual, they just like I used to do. I'd come across the Song of Solomon, and it just, it didn't mean a thing to me. It was a closed book. And I'd just detour around it and go somewhere else in the Word until the day that Jesus gave me the vision. And I had that wonderful experience I've told you about so often. Now, the word flock, this is very interesting. It means to arrange a beloved in order. And it means to arrange for battle. Praise God. You know, Brother Leroy, bless his heart. And where is Brother Leroy? I miss him tonight. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that wonderful? The Lord gave Brother Leroy a job. You know, Brother Leroy, he's always telling us about Uncle Buddy Robinson. Is that what he calls him? Uncle Bud Robinson. And about how that, you know, Brother Uncle Bud Robinson prayed for God to give him ribs. How was that? Like the sleepers under the the church floor, and give him iron shoes and galvanized breeches and a backbone like a saw log, and help him to sign a contract with the devil to fight him as long as he lived, bite him as long as he had teeth, and gum him till he died. Glory to God. Abba-ba-ba-ho-sha-ya. Listen, I'll tell you, there's time you got to. The Word says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. You got to get violent. And you need some teeth to do it with sometime. And instead of letting the devil bite you, I bite him a while. And I'll tell you, if you keep these teeth in good order, you won't lose your Holy Ghost teeth. Amen. Praise God. So it means to arrange for a battle. And it also means to muster for inspection. You fellas that have been in the army, when they call, when they muster you, now, isn't that for an inspection? Who said amen? All right. And also it means to dig, like in a vineyard. Praise God. And so, beloved, when you grow these teeth, then those teeth begin to, you can begin to dig then into the Word of God with them. You see what I mean? You begin to dig out treasures and nourishment out of the Word of God that you never could before. I know by experience that this is real. For example, I wouldn't be digging in the Song of Solomon if I had never lived out yonder on the mountain of Bether, or in the prayer closet. That's what the mountain of Bether is, the prayer closet. And let me keep my mouth on the sincere milk of the Word of God until God gave me some teeth that I can dig into the Word of God and that I can fight the enemy with. Now then, you'll notice something else there about the teeth, beloved. First of all, he said they're like a flock of sheep. Now notice he uses a clean animal here to liken the bride's mouth to. He doesn't pick up an unclean animal, just like he uses a clean animal to show about her eyes. The dove was a clean animal. So was the sheep. They could eat a sheep because it had a cloven foot and it chewed the cud. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, huh? And so he said her teeth are like a clean animal. Her teeth were like one that had separation and meditation. That's what split hoof and chewing the cud. For example, other animals like the donkey or the ass, that was an unclean animal. God wouldn't have an ass around the sanctuary. They had to be redeemed, sold, and a price. The price of them could be brought in, but they couldn't be brought in because they were an unclean animal. Now and then he said here also that they're even shorn. They're smooth They're not like the cheek teeth of a lion. They're even shorn. They're smooth. Praise God. They're not ferocious and jagged, as it were, to gnash upon. But he said they're even shorn, and the word shorn means clipped and cut. They've been formed so perfectly and so evenly. And then notice what else about the teeth. He said they're washed. Amen. The teeth of the bride are washed. He said they're like a flock of sheep that have been that have come up from the washing or come up from the bathing. They've been bathed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And so her teeth are washed. They're clean. She doesn't carry the meat of her neighbor's ribs in her mouth. You see that? Amen. She's got clean teeth. And beloved, there's only one way you can keep your teeth clean, and that's to live in the prayer closet and live alone. If you live with human beings too much, you're going to say something you ain't got no business saying. The Word said, in a multitude of words, He said, there wanteth not sin, or liketh not sin. And so her mouth, praise God, were like a flock of sheep. They were evenly, they were arranged to where that they could be used as instruments for battle or instruments for food. That's what your teeth are for. Did you know that? Instruments for battle or instruments for food. Did you ever bite anybody when you was a little kid? Well, a little kid learns pretty soon that, you know what I mean, that his teeth are instruments for food and they're instruments for warfare. He defends himself with his teeth, and sometimes he's aggressive with them too. And the best way, if you got a kid that bites, you know how to cure him? Let somebody bite him back. And when you've got more than one child, sometimes you have that problem with them, you know. Glory to God. Now, I used to have to almost whip one to make it bite the other one. Praise God. You know, sometimes that's the way we are. We think, oh, we get mad. We'd like to really club them one. But then when you really have to do it, you find out it's not so much fun, you know. One come crying, maybe the other one bit them. And so I'd call them up, and then I'd make the other one bite back. Sometimes I'd have to almost get the switch to do it. Now then, notice something else, and this is precious here. And it said, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Now, let's get the picture here. Now, let's say here is a tooth here. Now, he said, every tooth here, none is barren. Let's put a tooth there, and let's put a tooth on top. They're all even now. Remember that. And why does the Word take so much pains to say this? I'll move the teeth out a little far here so you can see how they fit together now. This is just precious. I get excited. And I'd like to really get excited, but I'm going to try to hold myself down on a lower level tonight because I want to keep teaching this week and next week because I'm having a little pain again with this instrument called my heart. So y'all going to have to work now and to pray that God will just give me strength to keep going. When you just talk and preach and go on as much as I do, well, no wonder that... You wear your energy out after a while, but I'm going to keep going as long as I can, and when I can't, then I won't worry about it, see. I'll go to be with Jesus, but if I was you, I'd eat and grow and get everything I could, and I'd be as cooperative as I could, because I could leave you awful fast, saints, and you're going to find it's going to be a little hard for you. So make use of the opportunity while you've got it. Now, this is precious, and if I wasn't trying to hold myself down, if I wasn't carrying a pain right now, I wouldn't be holding myself down because this truth is real and it's exciting. But, beloved, it takes energy to get excited with the Word of God. Did you know that? Now, he plainly tells us, now, they're like a flock. There are many of them, and they're arranged. And then he said they're arranged evenly. Now, you talk to anybody that's a dentist, and he'll tell you that sometimes people, when they're bite, is not together here, then you can't chew your food good and you can't get the most out of your food. Now, he's letting you see that this mouth here has been so formed that she's going to get the most out of the Word of God. She's going to chew and she's going to get the most out of the Word of God. Her teeth are together so that whatever he gives her, she's not going to play around. She's going to chew it until she gets the most out of it. Now, am I making myself clear, huh? These are Holy Ghost teeth here that have been formed by the Word of God. Amen. Now then, he said, and they're washed. They're clean. A lot of times your food don't taste good because you're carrying old dead food from last go around, huh? You need to brush your teeth good and get you some dental floss. Sometimes people have bad breath because they don't use dental floss. How many of you know what dental floss is? Well, anybody can buy a little dental floss in the drugstore. It's not exactly free, but it's no cost too much. And it's a sturdy piece of thread, and you put it in between your teeth, and you work it back and forth, and that gets a dead food out of your teeth, if from between your teeth, that you can't get out with a toothbrush. So practice using a little dental floss, and it's good for your gums. You'll never have pyrrhea of the gums if you make a habit of using dental floss. It gives exercise to the gums. Now, that's a hygiene lesson thrown in free. That won't cost you a thing now. But practice it, because he said here her teeth were washed. And when your breath is fresh and your mouth is clean, then, beloved, you can enjoy then a new course of food that's served to you. Amen. And so her teeth are clean. And then he said that her teeth are fruitful. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, I'm going to show you a little stature here. Now, if this tooth bears twins, how many are twins? All right. And if this tooth up here is fruitful and it bears twins, how many have I got now? All right. So he's letting you know there's the 4 points of the cross. She's chewing out. This is her diet right here. She's fruitful, abba-ba-ba-ha-ya, in chewing out the substance of the cross. Now, isn't that precious, huh? Her teeth are fruitful. Praise God. How much do you chew when you chew the Word of God? How much comes out to you? Well, beloved, if you'll stay in the prayer closet and pray, and if you'll stay in the study closet and study, God will, He'll quicken things to you. Now, let me tell you something. If you're one of those people and you say to me, I just can't seem to get with it. I just can't seem to get things out of the Word of God. It just doesn't seem to live to me. Then you know what your problem is? You're back to your teeth problem. You see what I mean? You're back to your teeth problem. And I'm going to tell you something, saints. You're not going to gnash on somebody else's ribs and then expect to have your teeth clean. Notice they weren't fruitful until after they had been like arranged and shorn and made clean. Am I making myself clear? If you let God arrange your teeth, amen, Abba-ba-ha-ya, not against your neighbor, stop biting him, stop biting your brother and your sister, but start biting the devil. And then start biting into the Word of God. Start digging up there. And if you will, beloved, Abba-ba-ha-ya, and let God smooth down your teeth and pull out the cheek teeth of a lion out of you, amen. You know, it's amazing about a lion. Have you ever watched a lion eat? I have. They can take bones and just crush them like you and me eating a piece of a stalk of celery. They do it just with that greatest of ease. And sometimes we do that with our brother and our sister, our neighbor. You have to watch out. Now look, if you will just, beloved, let God fix up your mouth, I'll promise you it'll be fruitful. When you come out, then when you chew, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be chewing out the fruitfulness of the cross. Amen. Every tooth is going to bear a twin. How about it? So that every time these two teeth come together, praise God. Now just think about it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Above a high. No wonder Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you learn all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hid in the cross, beloved, that bring you to perfection. It'll bring you to full stature. Am I making myself clear with you, huh? Well, say amen. All right. Let's hurry on. So, as she lived on the mountain of Bethel, her mouth, began to grow and come to a maturity, her spiritual mouth. In order for your spiritual mouth to mature, you're going to have to deal with your fleshly mouth. And then, beloved, he said here next, he said, thy lips are like a thread of a scarlet. So we notice now that her lips began to take on a different color here. Her lips became like a scarlet. And the reason the word says here, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Now, the scarlet has to do with the humility of Christ. I'll put scarlet on this side here. Scarlet has to do with the humility of Christ. I've told you that the word scarlet comes from the word in Hebrew that means a worm, and it even tells us what kind of worm, a maggot. And so when it says that Jesus became a worm for us, he was made scarlet for us, beloved, he came down just as low as he could. He had to, because you and I were low in sin. And then he said, it's like a thread of scarlet. And the word thread has to do with the measuring tape. Amen. So that your lips, beloved, begin to measure with the right measurement. How many times do we measure, beloved, with the measuring tape of pride, huh? And we measure things out of our pride. And when we measure them out of our pride, we say, well, my, this is wonderful, see? Or, my, we need this. Or this is wonderful over here. But then when you get God's measuring tape of humility, you'll find out that the things that you used to esteem so valuable, they're not worth much anymore. Are y'all listening now? As you go on with God, the scarlet begins to grow, and you begin to value things for what they really are. You begin to see true value in things, and things that you used to just cast lightly aside and esteem them as nothing, when you go on for God and you get that scarlet measuring tape, amen, of humility upon on your mouth, then you have a different a measuring process. Glory to God. I used to think, Ma, that, you know, outward appearances was everything. And I used to think, you know, that education was everything. And I used to think many things were everything. But when I went on with the Lord, the scarlet has a different measuring rod now. You see what I mean? Amen. Now then, and he says here, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is a comely. This is a precious here. Now then we see her speech. Well, naturally, a mouth that has that kind of teeth that are chewing out the little statures, as it were, of truth all the way across, it has to affect her speech. You show me a person, beloved, that will live on the mountain of Bether in the prayer closet and in the study closet and will let God give them spiritual teeth and make them even and smooth and clean and fruitful. And then I'll show you somebody that don't have a speech like the bride. And it says here, he said, thy speech is comely or beautiful. Now, the word speech there has to do with the word pasture. In other words, her speech is just like a green pasture now. Every time that she opens her mouth, instead of derogatory remarks coming out and critical remarks and this thing and that thing, the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, if you don't spend time in the Word and prayer, you can't expect anything to come out of your mouth that will feed somebody else. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Now, how many of you are learning something tonight? Now, let's all... So, beloved, I'm going to tell you. You can just give me 10 minutes with a person, and I'll tell you what they're full of. Just give me 10 minutes. That's all I need with a person, and I'll tell you what they're full of. That's all I need. You know why? Because if you've been with God and been in the Word and in prayer, you can't hold it to save your soul. It comes out a jillion different ways. Now, it said here her speech was beautiful. It's like a pasture. Now that her teeth is like that and she's sinking her teeth into the cross and the substances of the cross and she's so fruitful, every time she opens her mouth, then, well, it's like a pasture flowing out. There are things you can feed on and things you can... learn. Praise God. Now then, let's take her temples here. My, she had quite a stature of growth that was formed here by the heart, the little deer that lives on the mountain of division. Now her temples, this is precious here. This is just real precious. He says here, thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. In other words, and I showed you the other night, not to doctor up your forehead here, and I showed you how that God likes a forehead, a clean here. And I showed you the reason for it. Now, I didn't fuss at you, nothing like that. I just told you, didn't I? And I showed you about the forehead of the bride and how that he wants it an outward demonstration, and how that if you keep your forehead clean, you'd be surprised how fussy God is. But then he has a reason for everything. And so he said, within your locks, that is, as her long hair was hanging down here, that he said, within, let's say, here's her eyes, and here's her nose, and here's her mouth. Told you the other night, she's a happy bride. Now he said, within these locks, he said, your temples, that's you sort of the hinges of the forehead. This part of your forehead here. He said, they're like pieces of pomegranates. Now, beloved, this is precious. You'll see later on, I doubt if we get that far tonight by any means, but the next time we have class, no doubt we will, and I'll be showing you. Now here's the old heart, and here is the new heart. When you get saved and you get the Holy Ghost and you get to going on for God, well, then God carries on his operation here. And of course, he's wanting to crucify and to kill the flesh, or the old man, or the old heart, or whatever you want to call it. But here is the new man. And so as she grew up enough in the spiritual man, in the spiritual heart, beloved, to get married to him, and he said that her heart was like a virgin heart. It had a seal around it. He said it was like a garden enclosed. It had a wall around it, so the little foxes can't get back in now. Nobody can get in here to this heart but the husband. He breaks the virgin seal of that heart in chapter 4, and marriage takes a place. And when he goes into that heart, well, in fact, you can just drop down there and read a little bit with me, though I'm not to that particular place yet. By study, we can make mention of it at this point. Now, he said, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Now, he's married to her, and he said she has a virgin heart. She's not a whore or an adulteress or a fornicator. Her heart is enclosed. That means around about, walled up. If you look over there in your marginal reference, if you have a Scofield Bible, you see the word enclosed means barred. It's a wall. It's bars around this heart now. And a spring shut up. See, it's closed. A fountain sealed. It's sealed over so nobody but the bridegroom can get in there. And then he said, he breaks the seal and he goes into her heart. Here's where marriage takes place. The union of his heart and her heart. He said, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Now, you'll find nine things mentioned here. And he starts off with the pomegranate. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen a pomegranate or not. They're beautiful. In fact, they're tasty. I like them myself. And a pomegranate looks sort of like, what would it look like? Well, it reminds you of an apple at a distance. But when when they're really ripe, they just burst open. Well, that don't look too much like a pomegranate, but anyway, reasonable facsimile. And there's a little crown there on the pomegranate. But you'll find just one seed after another. That's what a pomegranate is seeds. And when it gets ripe and you leave it on the tree, of course, you wouldn't probably have too much occasion to see anything like that here. But in Mexico, we have a pomegranate tree or did behind the house. And when it was ripe, you just see them burst it open there on the tree. And they're just so blood red, the seeds are, until they're almost purple red. And when they burst open there, they're really good. They're juicy, and they're wonderful. But they're just one row of seeds after another. A pomegranate is a seed. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, these nine fruits that he found here, I'm not going to go into them now. There was nine of them, and they fit right together with the nine fruit of the Spirit. In other words, she's mature now. She's not a baby. She's grown up, and her heart is grown up with pomegranate. That's the symbol of love. Amen. And then you'll see that the campfire, was a symbol of joy. And spikenard is a symbol of peace. And so on. You'll find these trees in her heart fitting together with the fruit of the Spirit. It's just amazing. Now, a pomegranate is a symbol of love. And seeds. Now, let's go back to why he said now that her temples, the very hinges of her forehead are the very seat of her forehead is a symbol of your mind. And you can tell by a person's mind what's going on in their mind by the way they'll thrust their forehead. And I don't think I did. Yes, I think I did give you that last time too, didn't I? About the devil's forehead, huh? And about the whore's forehead and the Antichrist is sealing the forehead and so on. Now, your temples is the picture. Your forehead is... Am I making myself clear with you, huh? And I'm going to tell you, Abba Bahaya, until you get some seed thoughts about the Word of God, you'll never go on for God. Now, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, if you never get a seed, you can't never get a tree. Glory to God. If you can't get a seed, you can't get a shrub. I'm not talking about what I serve you. You begin to get some seed thoughts on your own in the Word of God. Get some love thoughts about this thing. Oh, hallelujah. Now, isn't that pretty, huh? Her mind wasn't on something else and somebody else, hallelujah, but her meditation was full of seed thoughts, love thoughts. He looked at her temples and they're full of love thoughts about the Word of God. Glory to God. Saints, it's exciting to live that way. Did you know that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right, let's go on then. Now, we see some more growth in her neck, further growth, but I'm taking just a stature here of what was not mentioned before, and that is her hair and her mouth and her temples. But now he takes time out and mentions her neck again. Now, when I go back to study with you, when we come back over it again, I'll study with you the beautiful stature about her neck. But right now, we're just mentioning another point of it. But I'm not putting it here because these are the four things that the rose specially did for her. You see what I mean? New things that she grew. Oh, yes, she had some more growth in her eyes and in her neck. But these are four things here that she really grew in her experience with the rose. Now, in verse 4, it says that thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armory.
This is the end of side 2 of the second cassette of tape number JE36. This message is continued onto the first cassette of tape number JE37.